Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
I don't know all the words to this. Turn around.
Look at what you see.
So why would we be singing that song? And what movie is it from?
I know you love it so much when I sing. That's the theme from the never-ending story.
Right. So we're going to talk about our story.
We're going to talk about this episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. We're dealing up.
Well, it's all about our story. It's all about the importance of your story, you know.
Well, it is. It's very, very important to, you know, so many people are like, I don't have a story, or my story is just, you know, they don't see the importance of it. But the truth about it is that everyone's got a story, and bless you.
And they normally come in threes. Okay.
Bless you. Exploding. But people don't realise how important their story is.
Yeah.
And I think, before we get into like in depth, let's talk a little bit about, do you want to talk a little bit about your story and when you realised how important your story was?
I'm all for talking about my story.
No, well, we're not going to actually tell your whole story now.
Okay, well.
But I remember when I met you, right?
Yeah.
And
I think that, you know, from everything that occurred in my life, you know, my story is one of, you know, coming from a good family, ending up drugs and alcohol, becoming an addict. You know, I've struggled with addiction all my life. I still struggle with addiction today. And going through, you know, and the story of, you know, when I met, you know, my teachers, when I was ready to meet my teachers, when my life actually started to turn around. And most people would think, you know, I remember when I was in Carnet, and I was coming out. Carnet was a prison farm, and it was a farm. It was a minimum security prison farm, and I'm in the education centre. And I come out of the education centre, and a couple of the guys that I knew are all sitting around, and they're all looking like really, you know, not very happy, and they look, it's all very morbid. And I've been in there, you know, learning Excel and Word, and, you know, just trying to upscale and on my computer skills. And when I came out, I see all these guys sitting around, and I remember going over and saying, you know, what's wrong with you guys? And one of them said, you know, we're just talking about how our lives are screwed when we get out into the world. You know, like, what are we going to do? We're not going to be able to get any jobs. We've got criminal records, blah, 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 blah. And one of them said to me, what are you going to do when you get out? And I said, well, my objective is I'm going to speak on human development. I think at the time I said personal development. And one of the guys stops and looks at me and he goes, dude, have you had a look around you? You're in jail. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And I said, part of my objective is I'm going to tell everybody this. I said, my objective is I'm going to tell everybody what happened, because if I can turn my life around based on my circumstances and based on the correct information, well, then anybody can.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
But I have to say, it wasn't always like that. You know?
It wasn't. And I remember when I first met you, it was still a very nerve-wracky thing for you to be able to, to do that. But I think that you realized very early on in the piece that unless you could share your story, and we have to remember that it's not your whole story.
It's just a piece of it. I mean, it was great. Cleve McMillan from the Dollar Shave Club a couple of years ago said this to me. You know, Mitch, it's really only a very
just
small,
a little
piece
small
of the
part
story.
Of the story.
The other parts of the story are just as fucking interesting as this part. But I remember, you know, those moments getting up there, and I was nervous, because what I felt was people were going to leave or walk out of the program or walk out of the information if I said that I'd been to jail and I'd been a drug dealer, you know. You know, there was a couple of significant things happened along the way. And one of them was that I realized that people appreciate our authenticity.
Mm.
You know, people can smell a rat. If it looks like a duck and it walks like a duck, it's a duck. And, you know, people can tell when we're not being authentic and we're not, you know, we're not sitting into who we are. Mm. And, you know, our objective is to always get closer and closer and own and own and own who we are. And don't be afraid to talk about it. You may be in the arsehole of addiction right now, but you still have a story. And part of that, the arsehole of that addiction is your story, is something that you're going to use later in your life.
Absolutely. And I think that when we talk about owning your story, we don't mean that you have to blurt it out at the shopping centre.
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as somebody asks you where you've been, who you are, what you've come from, or any of that stuff. It's actually not about telling it. It's about not being afraid to if you need to.
Yeah.
It's about understanding that your story has a purpose. It's got a it's important and imperative in your own growth.
Mm.
And if that's the case, then your story has value for other people and can assist other people. And I suppose what we realized as well is that, you know, for you, you had your story, I've got my story, but in us owning our own stories, we're able to affect and impart this information at a greater level because we're okay with sharing our stories. Yeah. And
you know what? It's not even about being okay with sharing your story, right? As much as that plays an important role. But it's about being okay that you have a story.
Yeah.
You know, it's about understanding and owning every part of yourself. I remember sitting years ago with Dr. D. Martini and we're having a conversation and he said, Mitch, one of the paths to true empowerment is to be able to live your life and own all of your unloved traits and characteristics and wear them on a billboard in front of you and be able to walk around the world owning every single part of yourself so that no matter what anybody says to you, you can own it and go, yep, I've done that. Yeah, yeah. You've sold drugs. Yep. Now, hold on, let me think. Yep, I've done that. You've stolen. Let me think. There's times in my life that I've done that. That doesn't mean that that's who I am. It means that own every single part of yourself.
Mm.
You know, and I think that one of the reasons I didn't want to own every single part of myself was because I thought I was the only person in the world had ever done the wrong thing.
Of course.
You know, yeah.
We become ashamed of those parts of ourselves that allowed the story to occur in some respect.
Yeah.
But I remember for you, when you really realized how important it was that you shared your story in firstly verbally, because we share our story in many ways, right?
Yeah.
But I remember, your first step was to share it verbally when we're in seminars and things like that. And we came across a particular client and he had what you would perceive to be like a pretty intense story himself.
Yeah.
And as a result of you sharing your story, he was able to deal with his, if that makes sense.
That's exactly right. I remember him saying to me, you know, the fact that you were able to go there and allowed me to feel that, you know,
he wasn't alone.
That he wasn't alone in the world, that he had also gone through the same addictions and had the same stuff happen to him. And he was dealing with some pretty huge stuff from when he was very
young.
But he was, and so that's really when I started to realize, shit, okay, this story is very important.
Mm.
And it's not so much the story, it's the courage to be able to say, you know, I'm not my story. I'm a human being that has had these experiences. And in actual fact, you know, if there's one thing I've learned over time, it's that we're loved for who we are and not for what we've done. We're totally loved for who we are and not for what we've done. And, you know, that I suppose that gets down to, There came a point where, you know, the evolution of your story and the revealing of it to the world has stages. You also have to use your integrity and you also have to be wise about.
Well, there comes a point where it's right. And I think, you had been telling your story verbally for, in the right space and time. Yeah. for many, many years. And then...
And lots of people, I think lots of people had said to me, you know, you need to write this down.
You need to write it down.
And I was like, in the end, I was like, listen, I reckon I've told so many people that if I did
somebody write else
it down,
can write it
yeah,
down.
No, nobody would buy the book because like, oh, I already know that. Yeah, no, I know that. But I think that...
Well, do you want to tell about the moment where you realised that it was time
for you to write the book? For sure, I'll come to that. But before we just get there, you know, the funny thing is that... There is a common thread, you know, Joseph Campbell, the great philosopher, you know, who influenced people like George Lucas, you know, who created Star Wars, and his, you know, his research into archetypes and his research into the hero's journey. You know, the hero's journey, when you understand the common thread with the hero's journey, that line with the hero's journey, when you really understand that common thread, it's quite amazing that you realize that everybody's common thread, maybe not the story, but everybody's common thread is the same.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we all go through these significant points. You know, we're going along, everything's okay, then suddenly things start to head south, then we have the breakup or whatever, the traumatic experience occurs, and then we fall down into the depths where we can't get any lower, and then we meet, you know, the sage then takes us on the hero's journey, and the hero's journey is a journey of finding ourselves, and then we get out the other side of that, and then it's time for us to impart what we've learned onto the next generation. And so I think that, you know, all great movies, like every single Hollywood movie, every single one of them follows the hero's journey. If you and the you know, one of the reasons, for example, that did you know, for example, that Game of Thrones has been so popular, was because it didn't follow.
Yeah, it threw everything on its head, didn't it? It's like your favorite character dies in the first season. It's like what the heck?
What did you kill off my favorite character in the first season? And the nasty characters get to live on, and then you know the nasty characters
takes you by surprise.
Yeah, the nasty characters become good characters, and then they become bad characters, and then you're not sure. So it didn't follow that sequence, and didn't follow that sequence, they actually put a lot of its success down to that.
That
top is going higher.
It's
I have the same thing with colors. Look, I keep putting it down, but it just keeps coming back over. Anyway, so I remember I was sitting in
yeah, we were in Melbourne. Was it Melbourne?
Yeah, it was Melbourne.
So, and having dinner.
What had happened was we were going out for dinner with Joe Dispenza, and there was a few of us there. I remember Ray was there, and you and me and Paula, and was there anybody else with us?
No, that was it. And then and
we're sitting around a table, and Joe was there, and Joe had just finished The Placebo Effect.
I can't remember what he did.
Yeah, he just finished writing The Placebo
Effect. Oh, the book. Yeah, he just finished writing the book. Sorry, yeah.
And he was telling us about The Placebo Effect. And then he said, you know, tell me your story, Mitch. And I remember thinking, oh, okay. So I gave him the short version. I gave him about 20 minutes. And I remember looking at him, and he just went really quiet. And he was just sitting there, and he put his knife and fork down, and he didn't say anything, and he was listening.
And you get very emotional when you tell the story as well. So you were really getting into it. Like, it was lovely. I remember sitting there. It was lovely listening to you.
I was quite inspired telling the story. And I remember him stopping and looking at me, and he said to me, man, you have to put that down on paper. He said, you have to write that book. He said, if you don't write that book, he said, somebody else is going to write that book. And the funny thing was, is that we'd heard that a few times because we'd had, you know, there were media sources trying to write, to tell my story, and there was people trying to tell my story, you know.
Yeah, thinking that they knew what was going on.
And they didn't. And that's, you know.
It's just what happens.
It's just what happens. It's just a part of being an influence in the world. You're going to be, you just attract that stuff. And he said to me, Mitch, you have to tell your story. And I remember the head of PR of one of the big PR companies here in the country had done all of our work as well. And he said the same thing. He said, the reason this stuff occurs is because you're not telling your story. And he said, this is just, these things occur to just keep you on your toes. You have to tell your story, and you have to tell your story, Mitch, because they're just telling the story that you haven't told. When you tell your story and you own your story, it doesn't hold any power for anybody else.
Yes, absolutely.
They can't hold it over you, you know, just because you haven't told it.
And I think that it's also important because we realized as well in that moment how important your story was in order to in order to really get across the message that we try to teach, or that we do teach in our day-to-day lives, in our seminars and stuff.
I remember I was in Mexico, and you know, Dr. DeMartini was there, and I said, look, can you have a look at this manuscript? And he had gone through the manuscript, and I'd gone up to his room, and I, you know, he brought me in and he sat me down, and it was really great. It was really great, you know. And he said to me, man, I never realized you'd been through so much. I never realized how you got to where you are. He said, this is a really great story. He said, this is great. So, you know, having that sort of affirmation for what we've put together, you know, I think is really quite magical. And it's not just my story. It's your story. It's the story of the programs. It's the story of MJP. Process. It's the story of how the whole thing came about.
Well, what I love about it is that we you know, our whole intention, and so this is, you know, we're talking about our book now because obviously, I mean, it was a few years ago that we sat down and had that conversation, and this process that we thought was going to take a very short amount of time, it's taken a very long time.
Oh my God.
To get to this point.
And I think that's just because we want to get it right.
Absolutely. So it's at editors. We've just got it back from editors. We're having another meeting about it today. But what I think about in terms of the story, what I love about it is that we're talking about the transformation of human being, and we're telling the information and the science. And then we're using your story, which obviously I'm a part of, but that comes down later into the book. But we're using your story to illustrate the points.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're trying to say even today in this podcast, is that, you know, your story has relevance in terms of everything that you do. So for us, everything that we teach, we relate it back to our own stories. Yeah. And in the book, we've done just that.
And I think that's the message. You know, what has occurred for you in your life has relevance to the world.
Absolutely.
And anytime you repeat, here's another cool thing. Anytime you repeat a part of your story any more than three times to someone as a teaching point, you've got a product. Anytime you repeat something, a part of your story as a teaching point, you know, you have a product. And that was something that I learned quite early as well. You know, I'm repeating this quite a bit. This is a product and service that is sellable to the world. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to sell this, sell this package and sell it to the world. But I think something else in terms of our story is that when we understand, when we're okay and we're humble enough to own who we are, the other thing is that we give other people permission to do the same.
Absolutely.
You know, when we're willing to look into who we are as a person and own all the events that happened in our lives and really stop and get that, you know, what happened frees us, you know, owning it frees us, but it also frees everybody else. We feel more inspired and in tune with why we go through the events that we go through in our lives.
Absolutely.
Why these things happen to us. And we start to realize and give foundation to, whoa, this shit's been happening for a reason. You know, who I am is important. You know, we worked it out many years ago. You have a 1 in 97 trillion chance of being here. And so nobody that comes into this world does not come into this world for any other purpose, other than to actually be of service to the world and to bring something magic here. So your story is valuable. Your story is important to you, and you should, you know, it's important to own every part of it. It doesn't mean, like you said earlier, that you run out and blab it to the world.
No, you don't have to go and tell the shopkeeper just for the sake of it. But it's about being able to say, if that part of me needs to be verbalized at this time, or written at this time, or discussed at this time, in order for me to grow, in order to help somebody else to grow, then I'm okay to do that. You know?
The other thing is that, you know, if you're not willing to own your story, understand that you're somebody else will own it for you, and they may not tell the version that you want.
Absolutely, and then also the story owns you. You think it's bigger than Ben-Hur. You think it's like this massive thing, and the truth about it is that it's not. Everybody's gone through something similar, and you can relate to people relate to that, you know, and people love. Hearing about, you know, this is why we're so attracted to these comedians and these people that are up on stage, you know, talking. And even, you know, when we're doing our seminars and we're up talking and joking about certain things, people relate to them because they've all experienced it. Everyone's experienced it.
Yeah.
And because they've experienced it, they're like, oh my gosh, he gets me. We understand each other.
I read it, actually, Billy Connolly's wife being interviewed about Billy Connolly, right?
Pamela Stevenson.
Yeah. And Billy was sitting there and she was like, you know, tell him how it all came about. And Billy said he was working in a shipping yard and he was learning how to be a boilermaker, an apprentice boilermaker. And on the weekends, he would jump on a ferry and get a ferry over to Ireland. And he would play, you know, from Scotland over to Ireland. And he would play in certain pubs and play the banjo. And he was a brilliant. No. He was just a banjo player.
Yeah.
He was singing. You're right. So he was a master banjo player and he was a singer. And he was playing in some really rough pubs. So some of the pubs over there are really, really rough. And If you messed up, like they throw bottles and all sorts of, you know, it's like something you see on the movies. And he was telling a story about, and you know, if you ever get to read Billy Connolly's life story, his biography, and I think it's an autobiography. If you ever get this to read it, you see that, you know, behind all great comedies, great tragedy, the upbringing that the chap had was like really full on.
Yeah.
So behind all great comedy, as I said, is great tragedy. And so Billy, you know, Billy had this crazy aunt who in the end, she was so crazy. She had all her teeth removed. She was so crazy that when they went into the house was just getting overgrown and, you know, they were really concerned about her health and, you know. And when social services got into the house, she was living under the floorboards. And she used to beat him so badly. She used to beat him with the heel of a shoe and knock his teeth out. And like she was crazy.
Mm.
And he said she was mentally deranged. And he was left with this woman. His father had died. The mother had died. And he was left with this woman to raise him who was nuts. But he said, he tells the story about being in a really, really violent pub. And he's playing the banjo singing a song and he forgets the words. And he panicked because he didn't want to get, you know, beaten up. So he panicked and he looked into the audience and he didn't know what to do. So he just started to tell a funny story about his aunt from his childhood.
Yeah, told
part of his story, yeah. But it was he made it funny.
He turned it into something.
He turned it into something humorous. Yeah. And when he finished, he said the audience was literally rolling around on the ground laughing. And he said that's how he found his niche. So sometimes in us telling your story, we find our niche.
Absolutely.
You know, we find out who we are in the world. And, you know, he then goes on to, you know, to talk about, he tells that great, I'll just tell it anyway, but he tells that great piece about he was becoming really popular. And then but he was still going to work. And then he sits down next to his boss one day in a shipyard. And his boss said to him, look, I heard that, you know, you've become very popular and that you're singing in all the pubs and you're really building a career for yourself. And he said, yeah. He said, you know, in 18 months time, I'm going to step up from this yard. I'm going to put down these tools. I'm going to walk out of here and I'm going to spend my life singing and entertaining. And his boss looked at him and said to him, in 18 months time, you'll tell me in 2 years time, you're going to do the same thing. 2 years after that, you'll tell me in 3 years. And he got the point. And he said at that moment, he looked at his boss. He stood up, he put his tools down and he walked out of the shipyard and he never went back to it again. And he followed his dream. So there's a lot to be said about, you know, no matter what has gone on in our lives, even if it is tragedy, it has depth and merit because it has evolved you, it has honed you, it has developed you as a person, and no matter how big or small it is, you know, you're a miracle as a result of what went on there and as a result of that story.
Absolutely.
So yeah. I'm excited about the book coming out.
Me
we just
too.
Gotta get it back from the editors and backwards
Absolutely.
And forwards and backwards and forwards.
But it's exciting. It's lovely to be able to see it in print and to be and to realize at another level how our stories impact people, you know.
And I think also being able to get the process out there.
Yeah.
You know, being able to get the process out to the world.
And let people know that there's another way, you know?
And you know, give it to the world for the price of a book.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
and
awesome.
Get the assistance to the world for it. Because, you know, right in the beginning, between both of us, it was always about, you know, the people need to know.
You know,
the world needs to understand. You don't have to go through your life being loyal to everybody else's opinion of how you should carry your stuff around.
Yeah.
You know, you can have the life that you want. You just have to get that you have something, no matter what occurred, it was designed to enable you.
Totally. So there we go.
Yeah, that was good.
Owning your story.
Yeah.
It's a big thing.
Your book. Everybody has a book in them, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. Well, everyone's an authority on their own lives.
That's right.
That means that they're an author.
Yeah.
They can write about
and
their own lives.
And there's no greater authority than you on your life.
Absolutely.
Nobody can tell your story like you can.
Absolutely.
Cool.
So own your story.
Boom!